Hi, and welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. My name is Emily Thomas, and I am a mom on a mission to get a new perspective. Y'all, I am not proud of it, but I spent far too long waiting for my daily irritations to resolve before the good times can begin. And I'm thinking the struggles are just going to keep coming, so I might as well get a new plan. God promises if we persevere through our daily struggles, our character will be built and we'll end up with a hope that doesn't disappoint. And I don't know about you, but my hardest days happen when I've lost sight of that hope. So if that's your story too, join me each week as I interview someone who has passed from just struggling to struggling well. Howdy, friends. I never really say howdy, but my son's on a cowboy kick lately and it's actually kind of fun to say. So howdy. We are on episode 36 today, and you are really going to enjoy my chat with my friend Retha. She is such a joy to me and a serious source of encouragement. She's always cheering me on, but is not afraid to get onto me when I'm heading down the wrong path. Retha's story is nuts, you guys. It's like past making your jaw drop, it just makes your jaw clean fall on the floor. You're going to learn a lot from hearing her take on the lessons she's learned the hard way. Before we get started, though, I wanted to give a shout out to a listener, Mackenzie Byersdorf, who left an iTunes review. She says, I have genuinely laughed, cried, and taken notes every time I've listened to an episode of Mom Struggling Well. Emily is honest, super funny, and pulls practical and inspiring wisdom out of each interview. I'm a big fan of podcasts, and Emily stands out with a wide variety of interviewees and content, and such a great mix of making moms laugh, but also truly encouraging us in the hard and good parts of motherhood. So grateful for this podcast. Well, Mackenzie, I am grateful for your review. Thank you for taking the time to listen, Mackenzie. I just sit here in my closet talking into a microphone, so it's super fun to know that people are actually listening and are enjoying the show. Speaking of taking notes, you guys are going to want to write down some of the stuff that Retha says. So let's go ahead and get started. Hey, Retha, how are you today?
Emily, I'm great. I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, man, I'm so excited to talk to you. Never met you in real life, but I feel like we're friends.
I know. Well, I think that, you know, we were going to be friends whether you wanted to or not. You know?
Oh, well, great.
This was going to kind of stalk you until you just succumb to my ways.
So funny. I love it. Well, okay. So will you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I'm Retha. Everywhere online, I'm Retha Nicole, and I'm a mom of three boys. Always thought I'd have a girl. That didn't happen, but I now know, you know, I'm a boy mom.
There you go.
I love it. I used to own a bakery and I just closed it. We live in a little small town. We always say, you know, that we live in Birmingham, Alabama, but we live in a little tiny town in Birmingham. And I like small town.
Okay.
I like small town life. So we love it.
Tell me about your bakery. What was your favorite thing you baked?
Ooh, let's see. The bakery consisted daily of 5 different cupcakes and like 3 different cookies, 2 or 3 different brownies, 2 or 3 different Rice Krispie treats.
Did you make all of it? Or you had people who made it?
I made all of it.
Oh, my goodness.
My girls, I love them so much, and they would do cookies and brownies, but the cakes and the pies and all of that I would make. I think, you know, my absolute favorite thing would be red velvet, because in the South, red velvet is a big deal, and it was the top seller. And I think I liked it the most because it was my grandmother's recipe.
Oh, I love that.
And so nobody makes it like my grandmother. Most people put cocoa powder in their red velvet, so it's kind of a chocolate.
Yeah.
And we didn't. And so I like it. And I like to see people enjoy it when they bite it, because they expect what they've always known, and then they don't get that, and then they fall in love with it and gotta have it.
That's so meaningful. I love that.
So that's my favorite. I mean, I love to bake. I like to cook in general, but I love to bake and see people totally enjoy it.
Yes. So you've got a story that's kind of rough, Retha. I don't know if you know that.
Little struggle.
Yeah. Now I want to talk.
What's the name of this podcast again?
Yes, you are in the right place. Give us kind of an overview of what happened.
I was divorced and my friends talked me into online dating, eHarmony. Went on there and met this guy. We dated long distance. He lived in Alabama. I lived in Atlanta. Okay. We dated long distance. It was great. I moved. We got married. It was wonderful. Everything was good. And then the bottom fell out.
How long into the marriage?
We were married a year. So August, September, a year and 2 months.
Wow. Okay.
So a year and 2 months. And then he went into a coma and he stayed there for a year and 9 months.
Whoa. So longer than he wasn't.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he stayed there for a year and 9 months, and then he passed. And I was pregnant, 5.5 months pregnant when he went into the coma.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have a son, and I always, you know, in the midst of the whole thing, and we can go into any parts of it that you'd want to, but in the midst of the whole thing, I would say in the beginning, oh, my gosh, God, like, you are creator of all. Why would you make me pregnant? You know, because
you knew what was coming.
Yeah, like, I was sick, and I was tired. And, you know, you're big and you're, it was just like a lot. So, like, I just was like, why would you make me pregnant? And then probably about, I don't know how many, I could calculate it, but, you know, I'm not good with math on the fly. But let's say Brayden was about 6 months old, and it was a rough day, and I had had a rough night. So I was not enthused at all about getting up and doing anything for my husband. I just was like almost at my tipping point.
Because you were caring for him at home, right?
Yes. I decided to bring him home as opposed to a facility, because I did a facility kind of like I did the hospital while I was pregnant and with my other two children. So that was rough, that juggle of drop the kids off at school, go to the hospital, be there all day caring for him and going back when they get out of school and getting all their homework and dinner good. And then waiting on my nanny to come back. And then after they go to sleep, then I go back to the hospital to wee hours. It was a ridiculous struggle. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I didn't want to do that once I had the baby. And I knew that, I don't know, I just thought I thought he wouldn't like it. Like, it wasn't so much as about me as it was about him. Mm-hmm. I just thought he wouldn't want to be with unknown people all the time. He'd want to be at home, you know? So I did it. So I brought him home. Brayden was about 6 months, and I had had one of those nights where I think Darius had been sick all night. And I think at this time we were doing, this is kind of gross, so I don't know if you want to edit it out, but
hey, I'm a nurse.
Oh, okay. So we were doing a condom catheter as opposed to because he had had two urinary tract infections, because that's such a sterile thing. Yeah. So when they came and changed it, I thought that maybe they weren't doing it as sterile as possible, because like right after he'd get a urinary tract infection. So, you know, newsflash for a coma patient, when you get a urinary tract infection, you can't just take a pill and drink some cranberry juice. Mm. We got to load you up and take you all the way to the hospital, because a lot of other things could go wrong. Mm-hmm. So at one point I was kind of over that. And so I just said, I'm just going to do a condom catheter. And my mother is a nurse too. And she was like, hey, let's talk about that, because that is going to be tougher. And you got to really think about what you're already going through. And I just said, nope, I'm going to do it. And so, you know, this day, Brayden woke up, and it was one of those days where I didn't want to get up. It was because like the condom catheter had come off like 3 times.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That means that
lots of sheet changes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, oh, anyway, so I didn't want to get up. But the point of that is, what made me get up? I heard that baby. And that's when the light bulb went off for me that's why. It was like God immediately said to me, see, hear that crying? That's why you were pregnant. That's why. And so I was like, oh, right? Because if I'm down, and I'm not saying that this is true, but if I'm already down and I'm depressed, I don't know, you know, this probably won't sound right, but you know, he's in a coma, so he can sit there for another hour while I gather myself. But a baby cannot. And there's nothing in my heart that would let that happen.
Right.
So I get up to get Brayden, and then it just starts my day. And then not only that, too, but then, you know, Brayden looks at me, and that's the charge I need to keep going. You know, he looks at me, and he smiles, and he giggles, or, you know, he moves, or, you know, he touches my face, and that's exactly what I need to keep going. So at about 6 months is when God said, see, this is why you had to have a baby, because if not, you know, maybe you give up. Maybe you don't keep going. And so, you know, for me, that really solidified also my relationship with Christ a little more, because I've always grown up in the church, and I knew who God was, but I didn't have a relationship with him.
Okay.
And in this part of our marriage, or this part of my life, not even our marriage, my own personal life, I did not have a relationship with Christ at all. I was not going to church. I didn't even know where my Bible was. I didn't have a relationship at all.
Okay.
So when the coma happened, of course, that's who I turned to, but it just got way deeper than that. Why? Because this thing got hard. I mean, this got way deeper than that. It was kind of like, yeah, I'm going to close myself up, and I don't want to talk to another person Why? Because you can't help me at this point. Like, I literally told my mother day one of the coma, I said, I don't want to talk.
Okay.
You tell everybody that, forgive me, but I don't want to talk. And I mean, I only want to talk to you, Mom. I don't want to talk to anybody else. My mom has such a soft and giving heart, and she's my mother, and we are really good friends. And, you know, of course, she's been with me all my life, so she can kind of gauge where I am. And she'll talk when she feels like I need her to, and then she won't. And I couldn't trust that anybody else would give me that space.
Yeah. I think it's important to do what you know you need to do.
Yeah. So I didn't. I didn't talk to anyone.
So he passes away. Then what? What do you do? You're a single mom with three boys.
Yeah. You wake up and you go, what?
Gosh.
What are we doing here? Towards the end of the coma, God told me to open the bakery.
Okay.
And so I did, even though I said, you know, he's still in a coma, right? Like, are you serious? Like, that's what you want me to do? Like, I've been hearing you talk to me for some months now, so I know now that I'm not crazy. Because before, you know, I did think I was crazy.
Did you? Okay.
But now I know that I'm not crazy. So now I just really have to go again and say, you sure about this, Jesus? Yeah. You know he's still in a coma. And these three kids, you know, I have this.
Oh, like, my goodness.
Because at this point, all of my family and friends, as gracious as they are, they are helping me, but also in their life.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's in Alabama. I lived in Alabama by myself.
Oh.
I had no friends and no family here.
Okay.
So it wasn't like people are coming over with a casserole after work.
Right.
No, everybody's gone. Mm-hmm. I just was like, wow. But then when God wants you to do something, like, just little things would fall into place and just things would happen. So I did. I opened a bakery. So then after he passes, I still have it, right? Like a month or so before he passes, God says, this is why you have the bakery.
Hmm.
And I was like, oh, see, there you are again with that, like, later stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I have the baby and you tell me later it's to help you survive. And I get it. And now you tell me I have the bakery because he's getting ready to not make it. He's not going to come out, which was twofold devastating because.
Did you think he was going to recover?
I always thought he would through everything. I mean, at the end, the last hospital visit before the last one, so the one right before the last one, it was pretty hard, and I did sign the do not resuscitate, but I always had hope. I mean, you know, I always thought it's possible. It'd be a miracle. I mean, I'm not crazy. I knew it'd be a miracle, but I mean, at that point, my relationship with God was, you know, really good. And I knew who he was, you know what I mean? I knew at any minute he could change this if he wanted
Certainly,
to. So medically, yes, it was impossible. It wasn't even a chance, but I thought you could if you want to.
So, okay. You mentioned to me that one of the kind of struggles that you have in mothering is that you did not show Christ to your kids because you did not know him until they were, you know, a little older. Talk to me about that. And what was their reaction when they're like, what are you doing? Who are you now?
You know, luckily for me, they haven't done the what are you doing? Who are you
okay.
now? And I think that that's because of my mother. My mother has always been a Christ follower.
Okay.
So when we lived near my mother, you know, we went to church and she made sure the boys went to vacation Bible school and all of that. When I say that I didn't have a relationship with Christ, I mean, like, I didn't personally know him. Studying the Bible, I didn't know him in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to live with him forever wasn't in my heart. But we had been to church. And
okay.
So it wasn't foreign to them. When I say that that was a struggle for me, is because, you know, my mother used to always say, God holds you responsible for their faith when they're children. So you're responsible for that. So you're not doing what you're responsible for by sleeping every Sunday.
Okay.
And by not taking them to church. He will hold you responsible for that. And so now I just hope I'm laying a good foundation. And I think that what I'm learning is that the best way to do that is for them to see Jesus in me, for them to see me reading my Bible, for them to see me. You know, everybody can't hold Bible study in their house, but I do. So for them to see that and understand it. I think children need to see it rather than be preached it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So when I think of things like that, I always think about the commercial. And, you know, I don't care if people know how old I am because this is an old commercial, people. But there was a commercial in the 80s, you know, when they were on the big do not do drugs thing.
Yeah.
And so the guy was like, the dad is like, where did you get this? And it's a joint.
I learned it by watching you.
I learned it.
Yes. We're both old.
Right. So that I want my kids to be the opposite of that. Mm. I want them to be, I learned Christ by watching my mother.
Yeah.
'Cause that's truly what you want, right? Yeah. I mean, you don't want them, I don't think you want them to learn anything from watching someone else, good or bad. I think you want them to be able to come to you. And I mean, we don't know everything, but you want to have that open lines of communication with your children so that they know that they can come to you and ask questions and be open. And so that's what I want to be for Christ. I don't have all the answers, and I don't want them to think that I now all of a sudden am Mother Teresa, but I do want them to know that this is where we go when we have an issue.
Okay. As a woman with three boys, how do you, let me think.
How do I know if I'm raising boys right?
Yeah. How do you know, and how do you get them role? I mean, because I was raised by a single mom, and I remember my mom saying, like, I can throw the ball with, you know, my brother, and do as much as I can, but I'm still a mom doing a dad thing.
Yeah. So the biggest worry for me, I'll be honest, my oldest and middle child are from my first marriage, and their father and I have a good relationship now. Ooh, praise the Lord.
Does he live anywhere nearby?
He lives in Georgia. Yeah. So they go every other weekend to him, and we have open lines of communication. So if I have an issue, I say, oh, Derek, this is what happened. Or, you know, like, okay, this is weird, but okay, so this will be on the internet forever and embarrass my son. But my oldest son was in the bathroom for what seemed like forever.
As they do.
I'm sure my mom's going to be like, you told that story? It's hilarious. And so I called their father, and I was like, dude, he's been in the bathroom for a long time, and I really think, like, something's going on there. Like, it's water running, but it's nothing. And I can't find his iPad. Like, do you think he's in there with his iPad? Like,
oh, no, oh, no.
Like, okay. I was just going crazy. Because I knocked on the door, and he wasn't answering me. And so that was just odd. But anyway, so then I finally find one of those little things that are above the door, you know, and I open the door. And he's asleep. I felt like such an idiot. But he's asleep. My ex was, like, cracking up. He was like, you went all the way there. Like, you were at, my son is on the toilet watching porn. He was like, look at all the ways that you went. And I said, oh, but you were on that train with me, brother, because you stayed right on this phone. You did not move. So we have a good relationship. And then, you know, my dad helps. My parents are really good. And we do spend a lot of time in Atlanta. But the fear that I have is for my youngest. I love love. I'm a very loving person. So I do hope to get married again. And that's really where my concern lies. I feel like my other two, they have their dad if push comes to shove, or if they need that male thing, and they see him a lot. And I always say, Jesus, I'm not really trying to rush you, but, you know, Brayden's getting a little older, you know, so, you know, in a minute, he's going to be like, why can't I go with that man? And hey, who is that man? Why are they calling him daddy? Like, what is that?
Okay. Yeah, because he doesn't understand any of that right now.
Yeah, he's young right now, so he doesn't get that, but it's coming.
Yeah. What would you say, as a woman who is a widow, what would you say to, I mean, obviously it's probably not appropriate to say it, if you see a woman, like, maybe disrespecting or, like, devaluing her husband? Is there anything that wells up inside you that you'd like to say?
I'll tell you two things. I'll answer your question, but I'll tell you what I told my friends first. Okay. My girlfriends that are married, mid-coma, I was in a panic, and I just needed to hear his voice. You know, I don't know why, I just needed to hear it.
Okay.
And so I just didn't have it anywhere. Like, I couldn't find it. And so in this day and age with cell phones, we have a lot of pictures, but, you know, again, showing my age, there's not many VHS tapes you can pop in your VCR with Christmas from 1985, you know. But we used to do a lot of that. We used to video birthdays, and maybe people do, and I just don't. So I'm going to get better, because I don't. I mean, I don't video the birthdays or Christmas anymore, but, you know, my family is really big on that. Like, at my grandmother's house, you can get a video of Christmas, you know, through the years. So that's, I really craved to hear his voice at this point. And I called my mom, and I'm crying that I just want to hear it. And so she tells me to go in my deleted, I didn't even know I could go in my deleted voicemails. And she says, go in your deleted voicemails and see if there's one from him. And Okay. And so that was a great idea. And it was, I had like five in there.
Oh, good.
So that was good. I mean, even though, you know, some of them were really quick, like, hey, call me back or something. It just helped. But there was one in there that was pretty funny. So that really helped. So once that helped me, then I called all my friends and I said, leave your husband a message and then save one from him. Mm. Doesn't matter what it says. You may need that. And I needed that at that moment.
Okay.
And then I also said, when you first get married, people give you all kinds of advice and sometimes you don't take it and sometimes you do. But one thing that I'll tell married people is look at stuff and decide if it's big enough to make a tiff over.
Okay.
I think that we live in such a world that's so selfish and it's all about us and we want. Mm-hmm. And you want because it's there and that person is there. But what if, I don't want this to happen to anybody, but what if that day you don't get the evening? Because I got the morning, but I didn't get the evening.
Okay.
It can change in an instant. And I think that in our life, we don't heed to that advice. You know, there was a book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And when it first came out, everybody was like, oh, I'm getting that book and I'm reading it. And then what happened?
Forget.
Because you're back to sweating the small stuff. I told him to put gas in my car, or I told him to take something out to eat. Now there's no dinner and want. And so I just would like for everyone to be constantly in remembrance of why you married that person.
Yeah.
Constant picture of your wedding day. You know, we have pictures on our phone screens or saved to, you know, our kids or like the last time. Maybe it's you and your husband and maybe it was a date and you thought you were cute or whatever. But, you know, if you put that wedding picture on there, mm-hmm. remember that day, remember that time, because it can all go away. And I think we spend so much time worried about little stuff that doesn't equate to anything. And then those little bitty things end up becoming big things because it snowballs.
Yeah. And I noticed that you actually do this in our group that where we chat back and forth, a group of us girls. You did. You said, I just need you guys to know, you know, that you guys mean a lot to me. And I, you never know when you can't say that again. And I just thought, oh my gosh, like you learned that seriously the hard way. And I think it's such a good life lesson.
I learned that twice now. I've experienced that twice in my life. My grandmother passed in 2000 and it was sudden.
Okay.
Like, I'm talking like she went to church and had a heart attack at church and didn't come home.
Wow.
And then my husband. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that are rare in today's age, and one of them is kindness and appreciation. Mm. When that becomes a rarity, then the people that show the kindness and show the appreciation look weird.
Yeah, it's true.
I read this book one time called Let's Get Weird.
Okay.
And so that's what it's about. You know, let's get weird. Let's be the people that encourage and that show kindness and that tell people while they're here, I think you're awesome and I think you're a great person. And and so I do. I try to do that because I'm like, this is twice now. So, you know, I don't want my world to be rocked again. And I think that, you know, I think my grandmother knew she was loved. And so I don't question that. And I think that Darius, my husband, I think he knew. But the difference is, I think I did a good job with that. Do they think I did a good job with that?
Yeah.
And so that's always my reasoning for doing it. So whenever I choose to send my friends a quick text and say, hey, I just want to tell you that I love you and you're an awesome friend, or I just want to see if I can do anything, or I send you a text with $5 for Starbucks, it's not because I want acknowledgement. I want you to, whenever you close your eyes, know that somebody loved you, somebody cared.
For sure. That's so important and easy to forget. Ugh.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so you're a single mom. You have had a hard day at work, or your kids are acting crazy, which they do from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? How do you take care of yourself so that you are able to not lose your brains during those moments?
I'm not the best at self-care. And when I say that, I mean, like, I've never been a shopper.
Okay.
So I'm not one to be in the mall or like buying myself new things, but I'm going to drink some good coffee.
Okay.
And I'm going to drink a lot of sweet tea.
Okay.
So if I have had a day, then I make a choice to put a sign on my closet that just says shh, which is SHSH, and then a bunch of dots.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I close the door. If it's really bad and I'm emotional, then I just pray. Mm-hmm. But if it's not emotional or not bad, I put my headphones on and I listen to a podcast or I listen to music and I sit there until I can get up.
Okay. And do your boys kind of know that's the deal?
Yeah, they know when the door is closed and a sign that says be quiet is on the door, it means be quiet. It means be quiet. So something has to be really wrong for you to knock on the door. Okay. Like even not
blood.
Now there they needs to be blood have somewhere. Yeah. Like they have slid paper under the door before.
Yeah.
And but they definitely will not knock.
Okay. Talk to me about grief and walking through that process with kids.
Oh, man.
Because that would have been an interesting thing for them. He was in their life for a short period of time and the little one didn't know, but it's still a loss.
Yeah. And he was in their life in a coma in their house every day. And I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think of how that could look to them. I just did it.
Okay.
And so that will continue to be my suggestion to the next person. Just do it. Don't think about it. Don't waste too much time thinking about it, because you'll think about all the different avenues. And I didn't think about it and I just did it and they're fine. I made other provisions. Like in that room downstairs was a hospital bed. Mm-hmm. And then a twin bed. And that's what I slept in. Okay. And then the bassinet came in there as well for mm-hmm. Brayden. Mm-hmm. And then there was a dresser. And inside of the dresser was every medical product you can think of.
Okay.
But to the children, it was just a dresser. And then my mom, there was a closet because it was a bedroom. Mm-hmm. And so the closet, she put up, you know, the egg crates that you sleep on,
yeah,
kind of thing. Mm-hmm. She lined the closet wall with that. And we put the two big oxygen tanks in there. Okay. And we could close the door, which ended up being a little bit of a problem because we blew one up because it got hot.
Oh,
we didn't
shoot.
Know, but we didn't know. And it happened like 3 a.m. But
oh, my goodness. As all loud things do, right?
But we did it because, you know, we tried to keep it as normal as possible. So
that's a really good point. And I actually never would have thought of that.
Yeah, we just tried to make it a room. Like, so there was enough that they would have to see.
Right.
So we would, didn't want them to see too much.
That's really good.
The grief and even the whole coma, walking through all of that, I put my game face on while the children were awake.
Okay.
And then when they were asleep, then I could be how I felt. My kids have always had a bedtime, so
okay,
I'm counting down at 7:55. They go to bed at 8 o'clock. At like 7:55, I'm counting down. And if my husband has been sick all day, then, you know, there were times I'd be like, okay, you got to go in your room. You have to go to bed, but you got to be in your room, door closed. Don't come out until the next morning at 7.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of silent tears. No, mm-hmm. No words, just, you know, silence. So, yeah, so I, you know, all in all, I think they did fine. Now, what I will say is I think they did fine because God allowed me to hold all of that until the wee hours.
Okay.
2013, that entire 12-month period is a blur to me.
Mm.
I don't remember it, but I do remember saying to my son, did y'all have birthdays? Did mommy get you a cake?
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Please tell me I did. You know, things like that.
Wow.
So I did, that did happen in 2014, where I had that conversation with my oldest. And, you know, luckily for me,
I
squeaked out some cakes.
Good. You know, oh my goodness. Things. The baker who doesn't make her own kids any birthday cakes. That would be sad.
My oldest says it happened, so we're going to go with it.
Wow. Okay, so you mentioned something to me about if your marriage is in a dark place, you would encourage a woman to be the light. And you made a distinction to be not the head of the house, but to be the light. And I want you to talk about that because it's really easy to get those confused.
Right. The light is inspiration. The light is encouragement. The light is love. Head of the household is the organizer and the bill payer and the, you know, the rule giver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the light. The light is love. The light is inspiration. The light is encouragement. And the light is all the soft things that you don't want to do when he's in the dark place. Do it anyway.
Okay. Because you don't feel like it.
No. My husband, part of my story of the strength that I tell at times, and I'll tell it here because you asked that question, is 2 weeks into the coma, I found out that he cheated on me.
No way, Jose.
So you think I want to be the light? I don't even like you. Like,
oh my goodness.
But I got to get over it by myself. I got to get over it while you're in this coma. I got to get over it while you can't own up to this crap that I read in your phone and these pictures and these videos and these voicemails and these text messages and all of that. And so how do I get over that? I got to lean totally again on the only person who can help me, and that's Christ. And so that's what I did. And that's what I continued to have to do even through it all, because I didn't share that he had three affairs with any of my family or friends until right before he died. And so wow. I had to be the light. I had to be his person. I had to take care of him every day, because after the second urinary tract infection, I fired home health. I was like, I'm done with this. I'm over it. I'm tired of this. And so then I was it every day, all day. Plus the insurance was going to stop paying for it anyway because of where he was. So I had to be that. In my next relationship, Emily, if God blesses me, I'm going to be the light all the dang time. And I'm not saying that because then that'll make him not cheat. No, God's going to do me right this time. He's going to give me one of those. But I'm saying that I'm going to be the light all the time because the light is needed.
Yeah.
And what we should also recognize is that if we spend all of our time being the light, it will be so bright in there that he will either leave on his own, or he'll be like, well, you can kind of turn your light down a little bit because I got a light too. I mean, you know, and I'd like to share with you my light. Let me show you some things. And then what? Then you'll be in, you know, in harmony. So
I like to feel bad for myself that, you know, my husband can make all the final decisions. And, you know, and I think that's, it's a biblical design, and he didn't ask me what I thought about it. He just wrote the Bible, and I need to go with that. But my husband reminds me, like, yeah, but I have all the responsibility. It isn't that his job is easier. It's different. And in fact, I think it's harder. And knowing that helped me go, okay, fine. I can be encouragement and a support and not try to take all the reins. And
yeah. And even if you work every day, even if y'all share the load, just know that your load is supposed to be the light.
Yeah.
Don't step out of your bounds and be the light.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference between the light and the head of household. And sometimes we get it confused.
So I have one more question for you after all that amazing amount of unbelievable information, which I believe is true, by the way. But wow, like my mind is still blown when I think about it. What is something that you can't stop talking about right now? Other than that, like I would just be talking about that.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny because what I can't stop talking about is coffee, which is crazy.
Okay. What specifically about it?
Okay. So first of all, I have two things, and one of them is going to be kind of weird because it's about you. But the first one is, so if you live in Texas, there is a store called HEB. It's just a regular grocery store, nothing phenomenal, except they make their own coffee and the HEB brand. And you know, most people don't really buy store-bought stuff, but this is the really good stuff. HEB makes their own coffee, and it's called Texas Pecan.
Well, I live in Texas. I don't even know about this.
What?
Yeah.
Why didn't I not know that you live in Texas?
Why did I not know about HEB coffee? So see, we all have a lot to learn right now.
I'm learning a lot. Well, hello there. Get your butt down to HEB.
I know. Well, I don't even know. There's like not even one that I can even think of I've ever seen one. Anyway, go ahead. So tell me about this coffee.
So it's yum in your mouth, first of all. Okay. It's okay, so flipping good. Okay. And what I love about it is that they make Texas pecan, which is good in itself. Okay. Go get you some. It's good. For all you people who don't live in Texas like myself, if you know someone that lives in Texas, get them to send you some. But if you don't, HEB is so gracious to put it online.
Oh, okay.
And you can buy it online. You got to buy the whole beans, which I think is better anyway, and grind it yourself. Get a little grinder like I did at Target for $15. No big deal.
Okay.
But they also, and this part isn't online, people, I'm sorry, but they also do a Houston Texas pecan, like Houston flavor, Austin and San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
Get you some, let me tell you, because the San Antonio is so yummy.
It's better than the other two?
Texas pecan is my favorite, but yes, to me, San Antonio is better than Austin and Houston.
Okay.
Which is funny because I don't really think it is as far as cities are concerned. Sorry, San Antonio people, but Yeah, I so didn't know you lived in Texas. Offline, we can talk about the fact that I was born and raised in Houston, and I went to college in Austin, and I'm a huge fan of Texas.
Oh, yeah.
All things Texas. I am a Texan.
That's so crazy. No, I didn't know that. And I'm looking right now, and there's not one anywhere near me, because I'm in Dallas.
I was just getting ready to say, you must be in Dallas. Yeah.
So.
Wah, wah.
I know. Too bad. So
sorry. So then this girl that I know named Emily, you may know her.
Oh, yeah. Pretty well.
She does this podcast called Mom Struggling Well. So she told me about this phenomenal, blow my mind, cold brew coffee thing.
Yeah. Did you look into it?
I did. Had to look into that. And I don't have a Costco near me. So when I go to see my mom, I'm going to Costco to get the little contraption thing.
Oh, you can get it at Costco?
Yeah.
I did not even know that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Awesome. Well, I hope you love it. And if you don't, forget that it was me who told you about it. Okay? Is that a deal?
Just that. That's totally a deal. But I think I like it. I think I'm more excited about the fact, the strength part of it.
That you can adjust the strength? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. My mind was a little blown with that whole thing. So, yeah, I'm loving coffee. Can't stop talking about coffee. I think everybody should order them some Texas Pecan. I don't get paid by HEB, but you will love this coffee.
I want to try that. Sounds really good.
It's very yummy.
Awesome.
It's very yummy.
Well, Retha, thank you for all of your information that you've shared. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Times, I'm telling you, I love it.
Awesome. Well, you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Yay. All right. We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. So, do you feel a little better about your situation now? My goodness. The girl has been through the ringer, but remains such a light. What we didn't get around to talking about is that Retha also is a podcaster. Her show is called Journey to Balance, so go subscribe to it, and I'll put all her links in the show notes. So many great takeaways from this interview. When we go through a valley, we either tend to turn toward God or away from Him. What I love is that in the midst of her greatest suffering, that's when Retha learned to hear God's voice and to start walking out the things He was telling her to do. He is always there, y'all, and we're either heading toward Him or away from Him. There's no on the fence. As much as it would be easier, there's no on the fence. So, what will your strategy be to struggle well this week? Maybe you need to investigate cold brew coffee. The link is in the show notes for you guys. Personally, I am ordering myself some of that Texas Pecan coffee because she made it sound like I couldn't live without it. Maybe taking moments out for yourself isn't your strong suit, and you could use a sign on your closet door that just says, shh. Maybe you need to take some much needed time to remember why you married your man, because you cannot remember for the life of you right now. I loved her idea of putting your wedding picture on your phone. I think I'm going to do that, but mainly because I have so many less wrinkles in those pictures. Maybe you take a fresh look at the situation that's going on in your life right now that seems ridiculous. Like Retha being pregnant while her husband goes into a coma. Or like Retha opening a bakery while her husband is in a coma. And you can take some time to tell God, you know what? I trust that you have a plan, and I'm going to try to rest in that. And just remember Retha's story, that God had a plan in all of it, and she was able to see after the fact that He was at work. I hope you guys got as much out of that as I did. And if you need to hear more of Retha's goodness, listen to her podcast, Journey to Balance. And I hope you have a great week of struggling well.